Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Inspire small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. But there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. 34 after. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. My pleasure. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of a high intelligence. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com, and it will help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful if you'll check it out and use it to your advantage. Absolutely no barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you in. Come on in. The water's fine. Gene Siciliano is there. When you get there, you'll find Gene. But he's here now with us in the flesh, live and in person, so to speak. He is in the building. Gene Siciliano is your CFO for Rent, and he's a CPA by professional designation, the author of Finance for the Non-Financial Manager. He's the guy who helps us make sure that we keep our fundamentals front and center. Gene, welcome back to the show.
Jim, thanks very much. It's great to be back here.
It's good to have you back. Gene, have I mentioned to you, I know you've been with us within the last couple of 3 months. I don't remember if we've talked about this, but I'm going to say it again because I like saying this, because even though it's bad news, it's the kind of thing that I like to say to small business owners just to sort of frighten them a little bit. Sometimes we all need to be motivated a little bit. When I started doing this show in 97, within a year or so after that, I acquired some statistics from the Small Business Administration, from the Office of Advocacy, that showed that 50% of businesses fail in 5 years. Now, the new information that Chad Moutray, the chief economist there, is putting out is that 50% of businesses are failing in 4 years. That's a 20% increase in failure rate. And Gene, one of the things that you do is the words that you say, the things that you talk about, the things that you help us with, I believe, I know, will help small business owners stay out of the business obituaries. And that's what I believe that the reason people fail in small business to an increased degree is more and more people are starting small businesses without understanding the financial fundamentals. What do you think?
I sure believe that's right, Jim. And my business, my consulting practice, exists solely for two reasons: to keep businesses from failing and to help them be more successful than they were yesterday.
Mm-hmm. But sometimes that's job one, isn't it? I mean, sometimes job one is to literally get them off of life support into under their own heartbeat.
It is, because so many people get into business because they have a passion for what they do. They have a mission to accomplish something, and they really want to do that, so they start a business to do it, and don't really know about running businesses or about managing things, but know they have a passion for the mission of the business, and somehow we need to give them the tools that they didn't bring with them, mm-hmm. running a business.
Well, and another reason why I think that there's an acceleration in failures by 20% is because, as you know, we've gone through a 10-year period, 15-year period, where so many people, either because of something they wanted to do on their own, because everybody else was doing it, because they got downsized, right-sized, can-sacked, whatever word you want to use, and they found themselves without a job, needing to make a living for their family, so many people went ahead and started a business even though they really weren't prepared.
That's true. The technology advances today have made it easier for people to do that and to mm-hmm. look like a business to the outside world.
Right.
But you're right, it hasn't raised their knowledge level or their skill level in running a business for the first time.
So whether you're one of those folks who, and you know if you are, you know who you are, and you know that I love you. I'm not trying to be mean to you. I'm not trying to put you down or anything like that. I'm just saying, you know, Gene, we can't seek excellence. We can't find excellence if we can't tell the truth about things. That's what I'm trying to do. It's exactly. It's tough love, but whether you're hanging on and you're trying to survive, or whether you're doing okay and you'd like to take things to the next level, either way, Gene, the economy is. I'm not going to say it's in trouble. I'm not one of those who thinks the economy is in trouble. I do think that it is slowed down from a very heated pace of an earlier an earlier era of this expansion, and so now we're in a pretty solid, what I call a pretty solid state where we're in the 2.5 to 3% growth rate. But for some people, that feels like their business is slowing down, doesn't it?
It does, and that's my belief too, by the way, about the economy. But the reality is, when you look at 2 to 2.5% growth rate, that's an average. That is the average of people growing at 10% and people shrinking by 10%.
Right. Yeah. Good point.
We're talking about the people that are on the wrong side of that range.
And when we come back, we're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back after these messages, we're going to get Gene to talk to us about some things we can do, regardless of where you are on that average, that continuum, on that scale, whether you're 10% up or 10% down, what you can do to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. That's Gene Siciliano. I'm Jim Blasingame. We'll be right back.
Lonely teardrops.
Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Gene Siciliano, the author of Finance for the Non-Financial Manager. And he's a guy who helps people, companies, small businesses put their best foot forward, and especially in the area of financial planning and strategic planning, and helping them understand the fundamentals of operating a business. So, Gene, we've got a business, and let's say we're kind of in the middle of this gaggle of folks we talked about. We're not about to go under, but we're not exactly soaring the heights. We're pretty stable, reasonably stable company. You know, we're always one big mistake away from going out of business, but we're also maybe one right decision away from taking it to the next level. But the economy is, you know, it's not exactly dropping out from under us, but it's just kind of languishing.
Slowing down a little.
What's your advice? What should we do?
Well, I think there are a couple of things that business should do. And these are tools that ideally businesses would use all the time. But when things slow down a little bit, or you get a little concerned and you need to be a little cautious, then you pay more attention to tools that can give you advance warning of problems. And there are two areas that I think business owners can do more without a great deal of effort, without bringing in a lot of experts, can help them understand where the trends are in their business. And the first one is looking at trends, in fact, in their financial information. For example, every business owner gets a financial statement once a month.
No, Gene. You know better than that.
But they should.
Okay.
So we got to talk about
every business owner should get a financial statement, a series of financial statements, a balance sheet, operating statement, or P&L. Some people call it P&L. They should get that once a month, but many, many don't, and you know that.
I know that, and that's a problem. And you know,
and more's the pity, Gene.
If you don't get it, you can't get the benefit from it.
That's right. Now, so let's assume that we have those.
I want you
because getting them to have one, that's a story we've talked about. I've talked about a zillion times on this show, and I will talk about it again. But let's assume that we get our financial statements once a month.
Yeah. So what I want them to do is to not just look at the one statement from last month, but I want them to lay it side by side with 5 or 6 or 8 or 9 months of previous statements. So you look at it, you look at all these statements side by side, and you look for trends. Look for little changes that are happening each month, but all going in the same direction.
And if they're really good, they can build vertical models, put them side by side in columns, and create a spreadsheet with all that.
And that's the perfect situation, right?
Yeah.
So that their
mm-hmm.
columns are side by side.
Mm-hmm.
Then you look for little things like accounts receivable going up and up and up faster than your sales are going up.
Right.
Inventory building a little faster than your sales are building. Look for turnover rates and those kind of things. Look at the kind of numbers that are critical to your business. If you sell, if you have salespeople in the field, look at the trend of your sales per representative. Sales
gross profit. What are your what's your gross profit percentage?
Is it eroding
a tenth of a percent over the last 6 months?
You bet. And the problem is, if you look at one statement by itself, one income statement, it doesn't jump out at you.
That's right.
If you look at two side by side, it doesn't necessarily jump out at you because it's a small number. But if you had that small number trending in the same direction for 6 or 7 months, mm-hmm. you know you have something you got to deal with.
Well, and you can see is your gas bill going up? Is that because of the prices are rising, or is that because your people aren't being frugal with gasoline? As you said, is your payroll going up? Is that because business is good, or is that because you've used overtime when you shouldn't have?
Good point. Those are all areas that
these are all things that are completely hidden from you. I mean, I know you think you can see things, folks, but if you don't see them represented in these financials that Gene's talking about, they're going to be basically hidden from you, and you can't see where you're going. You can't tell where you've been. You can't see where you are. And you can't tell where you're going.
It is incredible. The companies of all sizes have executives who just don't see this because they don't think of the little numbers building and adding up and becoming big numbers. And as you said, a few small points in gross profit can begin to make a big difference if they happen month after month after month.
Right.
So let's assume that sales are in fact slowing, or that the trend, you look at these numbers and it shows you that your business is slowing. There are some things that you can do now to begin to protect yourself. And we ought to talk about those too.
All right. What are those?
Well, first thing you ought to do is make sure that your accounts receivable are being kept current. I know we have a lot of business owners are so busy doing the business that they let the accounting department or somebody take care of collecting.
We hate having to collect money.
We hate it.
We just hate it.
And
just we don't like it. Just pay your bill, people. We don't. You know, we just want our customers to pay their money. We don't want to have to make the sale. We don't want to have to be the salesperson and the bill collector.
Yeah, we don't. That's really true. And somebody's got to do that. And if your customers are experiencing the same kind of slowness that you have now begun to see because you've looked at these trends, one of the things they're going to try to do is slow down paying their
accounts payable.
Exactly.
And that's the compounding effect. Not only are maybe sales are off and budgets are tighter and gasoline's going up and all that, but you're getting squeezed on both ends. Your vendors are asking you to pay them more quickly. Your customers are paying you more slowly. And that is the devil in the deep blue sea, isn't it? That's the rock in the hard place.
Amen. That is correct.
And you're in the middle. You're the meat in the middle of that sandwich.
And you can't stay in the middle indefinitely.
Yeah.
You've got to get out of that.
Absolutely. Hold on to that thought, Gene. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Gene Siciliano is our guest. He is the author of Finance for the Non-Financial Manager, available wherever books are sold. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
These things that I love come to an end. All these things. Hey, baby, thought you were my friend. Stepping out, playing around.
Back, it's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Gene Siciliano. Gene doesn't have a CPA practice, but he is a CPA, and he helps companies with their strategic planning, with their financial planning, understanding the fundamentals, helping them get to the next level that they want to get to, maybe just helping them survive. Gene, give us your website, please.
It's www.cfoforrent.com. CFOFORRENT.com.
Check it out, and don't forget to look for his book at bookstores. Ask for it at your bookstore, and they can find it also on your website too, can't they, Gene?
Yeah, they certainly can. They can buy it right there.
Okay, what are some other things that we can do? We got this company. We're trying to help them get to the next level. We're trying to help them make sure that they survive. What are some other things that they can do?
Well, one of the things that business owners frequently do to get lower costs is to make long-term purchase commitments with their suppliers.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see things slowing down, one of the things you should do if you have long-term purchase commitments, annual open purchase orders, you should review those commitments and look if you can to get those lowered, because you don't want to buy at the same rate you had planned to buy before if your business is going to slow down, because that's going to build your inventory, and that's a bad thing, because building inventory means shrinking cash.
And now, that's on the acquisition side. That's when you're a customer. But and I'd like to recommend, if you weren't already going to say it, that you think about doing the same thing with your customers. Because I'll tell you what, there's nothing cooler than a two-year agreement. Only thing cooler than a two-year agreement is a three-year agreement.
Good advice. Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, really, if you got a customer that's happy with you, try to lock them in with a long-term contract. And you know, with obviously you got to be careful that you don't get your prices too so locked in that if your prices go up that you get hurt. You want to make sure you got some escalator clauses in there. But try to do something. Work. Try to lock yourself in with these folks. So that if business slows down, at least you know that they're going to do business with you even during the slow times.
Yes, that's true. And if you're, and there's a good point to mention in here, Jim, if you get some of these suppliers or some of these small businesses get contracts with very large companies, the classic example is the small company that suddenly gets an order from Walmart that they worked a year to get, and that order can put them on the map and put them out of business almost in the same instant.
It's amazing.
Don't watch the kind of thing you're talking about.
It's amazing how many people. I mean, Walmart. I'm not a disser of Walmart. I don't go around. In fact, I tell small businesses to thank Walmart because I believe Walmart takes people out of their hair that we're never going to do business with them anyway. But I do know people who have gotten squeezed by Walmart, and it's actually put some of them out of business.
Absolutely, and this is not, as you say,
it's not just Walmart. It could be any big company that becomes your largest customer, and then all of a sudden they start squeezing you.
They're doing exactly what they should do in their business. If they buy a lot, they should negotiate the best price possible.
Right.
You just have to realize if you're a supplier that the best price can only go down so far for you.
Right.
And you have to know where that point is. And that we've talked about that before, Jim. There's a little concept called contribution margin. And if your small business has a good accounting department, they can give you that kind of information so you know exactly where the point is below which you shouldn't go.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about credit.
Yes.
If your business is starting, you're seeing it starting to slow up a little bit, and you still have a good relationship with your banker, now, not tomorrow, today would be a good time to go say, hey, here's what I think may be happening over the next 6-8 months. And I predicted in August I might need about $10,000. What do you think, Gene?
Absolutely.
Show them where that came from. Don't wait till you need the money to ask your banker for it.
Because then he's not going to give it to you because now
That's
he's
right.
worried too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and he's trying to do his business. They want to loan money. They want to get it back. So you want to line up your commitments with them when they're comfortable with lending you money or giving you a credit line.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot of business owners who are reluctant to take on a credit line when they don't need money because business is doing well. They say, well, I don't want to borrow money because that means I have to pay interest.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is that's the time you should line it up because borrowing money is about increasing the assets available to work in your business or, in this case, protecting yourself when you have to absorb some accounts receivable growing.
That interest is insurance, isn't it?
It is absolutely.
It's not interest, it's insurance. And when you're a small business, you know, sometimes you have to pay a little bit more to get that kind of protection. Hey, Gene, I got to wrap it up. Good stuff today. Thank you for bringing us some really good information that I think will help a lot of folks.
It was great being with you, Jim.
Gene Siciliano, ladies and gentlemen, Finance for the Non-Financial Manager. That's his book, available wherever books are sold, and he will be back another day. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.